say we did 8 hours of training together, and now you're the bad guy role player, so you know what I'm going to do because we just spent the day working. But if you can't make it fail and you know what I'm going to do, then it's a solid concept, yeah, solid technique, because in the real world, the bad guy is not going to know what I'm going to do. They may know what my goal is. You know, if it's they're not getting out of the car, they know I'm going to want to pull them out of the car, but they don't know how I'm going to do it. So, or to me, that's pressure testing. You know what I'm going to do, and if you can't make it fail, then, hey, we're going to use that idea, you know, in our SOPs or whatever, you know.
Okay, did we get a red light on that one? Can you flip my screen? I'm sorry again for that.
Yeah, we're good here.
Cool. Cliff, dude, thanks for taking your time to join us today.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
So, you know, I've known you off and on, you know, through social media and the internet for a few years. For those in our audience that don't know, tell us a little bit about yourself, what you've got currently going on, and then a little bit of where you came from, because you got a pretty cool background, man.
Yeah, man. Well, my wife would disagree with that, but she thinks I'm a touchdown, but that's something I'll explain offline. But anyway, name's Cliff Byerly. I currently own Hill Country Kabatos. It's kind of a jiu-jitsu, more catch wrestling. I teach, I prefer catch wrestling over jiu-jitsu just because it's the meaner, aggressive cuddling out of the two. Yeah, so Hill Country Kabatos this weekend, I'm doing a vehicle extraction. So that's like the big thing that I get asked to do, is pulling people out of cars and beating people up inside of cars. But yeah, my background, 23 years in the Marine Corps, 12 years active, 11 reserves, mainly with the Marine Reconnaissance Community. All my reserve time was with 4th Force up in Reno. Did a career with LAPD, all in South Central, predominantly Watts area. Yeah, it was a interesting area. it's 11.3 miles patrol district with 5 housing projects. And when I left, they had 109 active gangs in an 11-mile area. So it was a really good
spicy.
Yeah, it was a really good test area for putting hands on people. So
that didn't want hands put on them.
You didn't want hands put on them. So it really tested your fitness every day, because they always wanted to like race us for some reason. You know, I don't know why, but I never lost a foot pursuit. So it was pretty good. So, but yeah, that's about it. Just teaching guns and Kabatos stuff now.
And currently you're located in?
Yeah, I'm in Kerrville. It's about an hour and 15 minutes from San Antonio.
Nice.
West of San Antonio, correct?
Northwest.
Northwest, yeah.
It's weird because you have to go west on the 10. Hmm. So it's weird, the geography around there. But, yeah, they got 36 acres out there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we can pretty much the highlight of the area, though, is I got two Connex boxes set up 43 inches apart, because the average hallway in America is about 45. So that 2 inches makes a huge difference. Even it affects people's draw stroke. So, and then when I work with local SWAT guys, I got a single wide trailer on my buddy's property that we'll do stuff in. So it makes it the realistic meth feel. So it's
pretty
good.
Actually make meth in there as well.
Yeah, I'm sure they did at one point.
No AC.
Yeah.
It's got that slight moldy metal smell.
Yeah, exactly.
I can taste it.
Yeah, if any of our listeners or viewers or whatever, if you've ever seen Instagram video of two guys in the fist helmets, right?
Not fist. They're from Spartan gear. But a little bit smaller. They're actually the only helmets that actually has a certification from Simonition. So they're pretty nice.
So if you've ever seen two guys square up or go back to back and then get pushed into each other in these Connexes, this is the mastermind behind that. And you've worked with, you know, one of my good friends, Craig Douglas,
yep,
for a while. You do some stuff with them. And then, but you've just got your own little battle dome out there in Kirkland.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing we can't do out there. I've had every few years we get some guys from D.C. area that comes out, and we work on some loan operator stuff out there. But there's nothing we can't do out there. I mean, you want to come out there and learn how to build car bombs, I can teach you that, too. Well,
That's actually not something that we're going to – you can't do. You can't go out and build car bombs, people. He's totally joking.
Can we do yeah, that just joking. But
I don't think we can do that.
But we could.
Yeah. I talked to the CIA for like 15 minutes earlier today. We can't.
Oh, there's definitely bugs in our stuff.
There's definitely all of our stuff's
bugs. All of our gear we're going to have to ditch on the way.
We're done. Anyway. So tell us a little bit about your company and what you kind of do out there. You've already mentioned it a little bit.
But. Yeah, Hill Country Kubotas, man. Mike, the big thing that I do, I try to just do like one day seminars, but it's basically like I teach the entangled gunfight. You know, it's like Craig Douglas has his, like, he's like the founder behind all that. So like what I do with that material is I teach you basically how to train. Like I want to go to Craig's class, but I'm not really prepared for it. Or, you know, it's like one of those deals, like we spend 8 hours and I break it down into like four distinct blocks of training, like standing, ground. I call it earning the draw and shot. And then, so it's like four distinct blocks. I break it down. So you can say like, okay, the standing part I really suck at. So I need to like work on my clinch game, or the ground part, you know, I need to improve that. So you actually, at the end of the day, you kind of know where to focus your training. And that's even my 2-day classes. I break it down. Like, I want to show you how to train, right? It's not just, hey, we're just going to do a bunch of techniques. I just, you know, so that's my goal, is when you leave at the end of the 1 day or 2 days, you know how to go back and what to focus on in your own training.
And are you black belt?
Yeah, I'm a first degree black belt in jiu-jitsu under Rodrigo Pinheiro and a Holder Gracie organization there in San Antonio.
That's phenomenal. Do you compete at all doing that? Or
I've competed at every belt, but I have scar tissue older than most people. And, you know, I get Botox injections in my spine every 3 months because I don't have any feeling below the knee in my left leg. So, you know.
Good on that. You had all those foot races in Watts. I think that makes up for it.
You know, it's all good. Yeah, competing, I mean, it's like I might still do a couple jiu-jitsu tournaments a year, but not like I used to. You know, now I'm getting more into the USPSA, running around with you know, guys shooting paper on weekends now. So,
yeah, well, that's the second instructor in a row that's talked about getting into USPSA more.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They opened up a whole new market now that they're on, you know, appendix carry.
Yeah, and the other thing too, they're starting May 1st is the limited optics. Mm-hmm. So, you know, now I can shoot my staccato and you know.
What division do you run right now?
What's that?
What division do you normally do right now?
Hi, I'm Chris from Big Tex
Ordnance, and I'm Ian from Big Tex
Ordnance. And today we've got the weekly update. So first off, from Voltor is the classic Murr upper receivers, right? So we've got them in foliage green, black, standard black. Those were my picks. What do you got over there?
For all the wheel gun enthusiasts out there, we've started carrying some Safariland Comp 3 and Comp 2 speed loaders for J frames and K frames. So if you guys need a good speed loader for all of your revolver needs, we got some. We have the new Streamlight Wedge XT also. These come in black and FDE. Great little task light. You know, drop your keys underneath the couch. You're looking for your burrito. Good little option from Streamlight. Comes with a little lanyard on it as well.
Solid price point on those. I'll have to reference the price point on
USB-C
those.
USB-C rechargeable, and it has a deep carry pocket clip on it.
Yeah, so. Option.
Looks great.
Coming up, there's a bunch of classes. We've got Paradox training. Gonna be across the street at the range. Doing that the 27th, not this weekend, but next weekend. Anyway, lots of training events coming up. We just also posted the Sons of Liberty.
Oh, yeah, the Armorers
class. Armorers class in May. It's up on the website. Anyway, thanks for watching.
Be safe.
Finger guns.
Well, with the staccatos, you have to compete like in
open
or limited. So it's like you got all these like space guns and stuff. And I'm never gonna go there to like, oh, I gotta win this tournament. You know what I mean? It's like, but it's nice having like duty carry type guns and their own. A lot of people are butthurt about it for whatever reason, but it's like, dude, people are just there to have fun. You know, it's like, I don't care, dude. You know, we go there to shoot and go drink beers afterwards. It's, you know, it's all about. So
we were talking before the podcast and a little bit earlier. So for the past year, you've been out at.
Yeah, FLETC, the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center there in Georgia, as a firearms instructor working. God, I didn't even realize how many federal agencies that exist.
But all the letters,
all that,
all the entire alphabet. I mean, it's insane, you know. But it's pretty cool because I did learn that everybody's paranoia about the IRS is, you know, kind of bullshit. But you know, it's kind of interesting working with those weirdos. But you know. But red dots, I like I was saying earlier before we started, like probably within 5 years, red dots would be across the board, you know. But the interesting thing about the red dots, like HSI has them across the board and a few others, but from my understanding, it was like the Bureau of Engraving and Printing that was the big push for red dots.
Okay.
I don't even know what they do.
I was going to say, that was my question. I was like, what do those people do?
I was fixing to tell you something offline here, is that since we've basically branded him today as our Ellie contact, right?
Like, hi.
Yeah. If you need something, email Ian at bigtexordnance.com if you're Ellie. But if you do get an IRS inquiry,
yeah,
those quotes, mandatory 40 to 60% more.
No, we're not going to do that. It's 250%.
Oh, he had a bad.
I thought he was going to be like, "Shut the fuck up, Chris." No. He's like, "No, bump that shit up."
Actually, instead of what we're going to do is we're going to be like, "We know how much you need to pay us, but we're not going to tell you. You have to figure out how much you need to pay us."
Yeah, let's see.
And if you get it wrong, you go to jail.
Go to jail. Straight to jail.
We'll make our own like TurboTax website. That's
nice.
And so sorry, Bureau of Engraving. Right?
Yeah, I don't even know what those guys do. I met like four of them the year I was there, so no idea.
We need to Google it.
And you see more and more red dot sites, right?
Oh yeah, they're. God, I mean, I still probably go to about 100 hours of pistol classes a year, and I mean, seeing an iron sight gun now. It's like oh my God, dude! Like, what's wrong with you? I don't know. It's like it's so funny. Like the people who don't buy into the dot, you know, because from what I've seen teaching firearms to new shooters for a year, like the dot actually makes you a better iron sight shooter, not the other way around.
Yeah, because if your presentation isn't perfect, yep. You're not going to see the dot, you know. Yep. And tracking that under recoil, and also the dot like shows you so much of what's going on, like through the whole shooting process.
Yeah, it'll tell you. You know, it's like it doesn't matter. Like I tell people, they're like, "Oh, I suck at the 25." Well, you also suck at the 3. It just, you know, but you know what I mean.
You just
it's like.
Suck.
You know, it's like the 3-yard line is like dating a prostitute. They're going to tell you that how awesome you are, you know, and then you wake up with them and they're going to lie to you and like get the fuck out. You know what I mean? It's like, so it's the same. Yeah.
So Chris doesn't like to admit that he is a knife guy, but Chris is a knife guy. I'm a knife guy. I tell people I'm a knife guy. So how did you get into the whole combatives blade?
God, I just grew up on a dairy farm, so there was nothing to do but hopefully not get your girlfriend pregnant and fight. So I mean, I started wrestling when I was 6.
Okay.
And then boxing when I was about 9, And I don't know, I just always been into, then I joined the Marine Corps at 17. So you know, I always been into like, yeah. And honestly, I think it was partly because all the men that was like my, that I grew up around, they were all SF, Vietnam vets, my dad, my uncles. It was just, you know, hell, we were on a hunt trip when I was 11. That's when I got introduced to bourbon.
You know, it's good, like, age, good age.
Yeah, so it's just, I was actually raised by what people call toxic males nowadays, which is fairly gay comment. I don't know what toxic male is, but yeah, I've just always been into stuff to break people, I guess.
Nice.
So
when did you start doing, did you start doing jiu-jitsu when you were Ellie?
Yeah, actually, yeah, that was pretty cool how I got introduced to jiu-jitsu, because like my tactics instructor in the academy back in 96 was Big John McCarthy. And he was a blue belt. He was a blue belt under Hoist at the time. And
I feel old now. Do you know who he's talking about?
Chris, you are old.
Oh, Big John McCarthy was the first like UFC referee.
Oh, okay.
Like he was the guy. Like, go back and watch like some of the original, probably the what original 20
UFC.
Yeah.
Two.
Well, yeah. I think he started like UFC 3 or 4 because I was talking to him about it, and they were he was like Hoist's training partner there in Torrance, and I guess Big John, he got into the UFC because when they came back, he was like, "Those referees suck. I can do a fucking better job." So. That's how now it's like to be a, from my understanding, I don't know if it's still that way, but at one point to be a referee, you had to go through his school.
That's cool.
To be a referee. Yeah. So he was making bank. Yeah.
Cause back in the day when it was a little bit more no holds bar than it is today and a little bit more of a seat of your pants thing, he was the law in the ring. And every once in a while he would have to
throw some hands,
physically take apart people if they weren't doing what they were supposed to. So. And that's cool. Sorry to distract you on that.
Yeah, that's how I got started. I mean, I was always into, like I said, I started wrestling when I was 6, and it's always been into grappling. And then in 2000 time frame, I got involved in MMA. And now he's up in Frisco, Texas, Chris Brennan with Next Generation. So he was like my first jiu-jitsu coach. So,
and that was all when you were on the force in LA.
And now, you know, it's like now everybody thinks jiu-jitsu is the end all be all, solves everything for law enforcement. I'm like, not even close, man. So it's like go out to Watts and roll around the ground in one of our major projects and see how being on the ground treat you.
So, good.
Yeah, good.
Pass. Yeah.
Pass.
So I mean, it's such a small piece of everything else. You know, it's needed, but it's not, doesn't solve everything like a lot of people are pushing.
Yeah.
So, you know, nowadays the biggest concern is like when they advertise combatives or any kind of hands-on classes for cops, like, oh, we reduce injuries to suspects. Like, I don't really give a fuck about a suspect getting injured or not. Like, he could have complied. That's always been my thought process.
Yeah, for sure. So, we'll go into the knife guy comment. I know you got some more knife questions.
Not really knife questions. No, what are you carrying?
I got a Strider on this side and a Northman in this pocket.
Nice. I brought a Dwayne Dwyer custom with me for my trip. And I have Matt Helms. Mm-hmm. I need a Northman. That's on my bucket list of.
Yeah, they just did a new Northman where you got a little bit more grip area. The Northman X, I think it is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you get a chance to train with Bill Rapier, that's his company. Mm-hmm. He puts on an awesome course.
Yeah. The Amtech has been on my want for a while. I just need to do it.
Yeah, he's up. In Oklahoma with David Cagle, another cop up there, great dude in his own right. He hosts Bill like a couple times a year.
Nice. You need to reach out to him. You're not the first person to mention him on this podcast, for sure. DeFore was Kyle was talking about him extensively in the podcast when he was on.
Yeah, they make great blades.
Definitely have to look into
that. I just like the fixed blade pocket knife. You
know? Yeah, that's why I like my Mad Helm so much. And then the Northman comes out of the pocket so quick.
Yeah, my folder is just in case somebody has cheesecake.
Hey, it's true.
I don't carry like three knives because of, you know, I'm a big knife guy. I just carry in case somebody has cheesecake or something.
What Strider you got with you today?
SMF.
Nice. Little SMF and concealed carry tire stripe.
Oh, look at that.
Nice.
Look at that.
I dig it.
The, you know, so far, right? and this goes into one of those skills that you talk about, and I've noticed before, and this is going to kind of take a different turn. How much does your ability, when you were in law enforcement, how much does your ability to talk to someone play into your ability to do your job safely and effectively?
Oh, it's huge. Being Having basically confidence in my competence allows you to talk, you know. But, you know, and then, like, dealing with gangsters, though, I've had gangsters that were, like, they actually calmed down because, like, I'd be like, you know, if you want to fight, I like to fight. We can fight or we can talk, you know. But it's really this, like, you know, words have meaning. You know, it's like we had this one in, that I used, the example I use in my classes, this one Hoover Crip, you know, beat the shit out of his baby mama. And me and my partner show up there, and it's like the two patrol cops, you know, they were just like escalating stuff. And, you know, it's like I knew this guy, and I'm just like, dude, how would you feel if somebody did this to your grandma? And he was like, oh, I would murder him. I'm like, exactly. So he was like, he looks at those, the first two that actually had the call. He's like, fuck you too, Cliff, you can take me to jail. You know, but it's just like how you talk to people. But it's like also, you know, words you use too. You know, it's like as soon as I asked him, like, how would you feel if somebody did this to your grandma? Because I knew he was close to his grandma. I was like, you could just tell, like, the whole attitude fucking changed, you know. So this is how you talk to people. You know, a lot of people, though, they, you know, they get scared because they know that they don't have an answer to this, you know, a solution to the problem. You know, it's like, that's why you see some now, it's like they taser somebody and the taser fails, they go straight to gun. It's like, how did it go from less lethal to lethal just because your tool failed? You know, and everybody talks about, oh, tools in the toolbox. Well, at some point you got to stop buying fucking tools and build something. Right. So you got to build an actual skill set that works instead of just relying on more and more tools. Because half the shit they're buying is probably from China anyway. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
So
that's a good point. I mean, you can literally have your belt full of stuff, but if you don't know how to use it or you can't talk to somebody, then it's fucking pointless.
Yeah. We were while we were waiting on you to show up.
Sorry, I was, you know.
I mean, you were the boss.
Wheeling and dealing. Getting coffee.
Yeah, nice.
Liquid but, energy.
We were talking about, you know, we were talking about palm. We were talking about pepper spray.
Yeah.
Spicy air.
Spicy treats, right? Let's talk about that a little bit. What are your recommendations? Not, you don't have to recommend a product, but, like, what do you recommend in that field? Like, carry it, not carry it, know how to use it, what?
Well, I think, I mean, it's good. It's a good option. I mean, I've seen it fail a lot too, but, you know, but I think in the right context, I think you should have a less lethal option. You know, it's like, my wife, she was a TV movie film agent out in LA for a lot of years. Hell, I even bought her the civilian model of the X26 taser, you know, 'cause all the homeless guys, you know, so she had a gun, a taser and pepper spray all in her purse, depending on which homeless guy, you know, would bug her. But, yeah, you know, it's like, Craig Douglas, he calls pepper spray an eye jab in a can. And for women, I think it's a good tool because it keeps that little bit of space. You know, they don't have to try to go hands on with somebody. And even if it doesn't work as advertised, it's still enough of a distractant to allow you to, you know, create that space to give you more time or whatever you're going to do. So, but yeah, I think it's good. I mean, shit, my wife carries all that shit, so.
Yeah, and we were having the conversation.
Shit, I got fucking palm in my pocket right now.
Okay. Yep. And you've got a training class coming up you were talking about in Stephenville. Do you do the private training classes like that often?
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's mainly what I do is classes like that. I have a two-day complete combatant class coming up next week there in Kerrville, and then I'm in Minnesota for a week. And then in May, I'm doing that all women's group class. But I've done stuff for like all the women, like on the local real estate board out in California. I was doing stuff for nurses and stuff like that. So yeah, I do a lot of kind of semi-private, but group, like the group of women up in Stephenville is like 14 women. So that's pretty cool to work. So I do women's only law enforcement training, and women want to train more than guys. You know, sadly, the majority of males think they can fight till they find themselves in a fight. You know, and then it's like they're screaming like a little bitch, you know. So, but yeah, though I like training with women. I just bring in big dudes from the beat up at the end of the day, but yeah, they're pretty solid.
We definitely are. You back in Texas now for a while?
I'm back full time now. If we take care of my wife's parents. Like her dad lives in the memory ward at the VA. But if she could pack up and move to Georgia, I would have never left. I mean, I was getting paid a lot of money to shoot guns every day.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and there's a couple guys down at down there that we work with that we've different instructors that we've sent stuff to in different agencies that we've worked with. So it's definitely a good facility. Well, we need to get you at the range. We need to get you there for sure.
Yeah, okay. I know. I send a lot of Fetzy guys to your website, buy stuff, especially dots.
Yep.
Yeah, we got them.
We like the dots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're dot friendly for sure.
A good combatives classes and like I need to take, but I've never, you know, besides like basic army, you know, combatives, which is, you know, we know how that is. And that's like on my bucket list of like classes in the hopefully near future that I take.
May 6th, I'm doing a one day there in my house in Kerrville. Okay. Come on out. Shoot me an email if you're available.
Okay.
The combative side of it is I've always been interested in. And my problem, you wouldn't think of it by listening to me on the podcast or meet me in person, is when we get into the role-playing aspect of the combatives problem or even on a daily basis, like I don't have the verbal skills that I think I need. And that's kind of why I asked you about the talk to, because like you talk to the guys with the really good verbal skills and you talk to the cops that have really good verbal skills that I'm stumbling through saying a word. And I'm going to mention a couple of names here, but like, sitting here talking to you, but we've mentioned Mari Craig and his verbal agility, from his background. You talked to Bill Blowers and his verbal agility, and then you get into engaging with other really good police officers that deal with, you know, JR last night sitting here talking. I mean, JR spent a lot of time on the street talking to dudes, and you probably talk yourself out of way more fights.
Oh yeah, than you definitely do. Yeah, and the thing too is like where you really learn verbal skills is like. Where I worked in South Central, man, it's just like being a blue-eyed male white. You already hate it when you show up there. So if you don't know how to talk to people, you're not going to get anywhere. You know, you're not going to solve anything if you don't know how to talk to people. You know, and that's the thing you see a lot nowadays with the current generation is everything they're on their phone. You know, it's like they don't. Like kids nowadays, like working in private business, kids nowadays, they listen to respond. They don't listen to what – they don't listen to understand, right? They just want to get their say in, right? So they just listen to – they listen to hear enough to respond, but they don't really understand like how to listen to understand what the problem is. So, you know, it's just like they just got to run their fucking mouth, you know.
But, it's a very, very interesting perspective on that.
Yeah, the verbal agility aspect of self-defense is extremely important.
And,
Yeah, like doing force on force stuff and like trying to, under stress, trying to talk to somebody. Like I, not have every other word be like, you know, fuck or cussing and stuff. Just trying to like get your point across without getting the right words out first. It's okay to cuss, but like, not having that be the first word out of your mouth is.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had the discussion multiple times in the last couple of weeks. Stuff gets lost in translation, like in text messages or email. Like we might be having a perfectly fine conversation, but you're like, hey, I'm coming down. Oh, you're coming down.
Yeah.
Let's go. Okay. Yeah. I'm coming, man. All right. Bring it, you know, and, and you lose that in physical conversation.
Yeah.
Right. But in some other aspects, if you're bump into somebody or, you know, there's a lot where that, you know, Jack calls it the my bad 20, you know, like there's a lot where, hey, excuse me, I'm sorry, you know, could get you out of something than regular mean mugging. Like I was walking through today and there's just this like an angry little dude walking through just like, hi, how you doing?
Dude, you should have shoulder bumped him. Oops.
Or even just like another thing, like, you know, just like thinking about what you're going to say, like freeze, freeze, don't move, put your hands up, you know, like contradicting yourself in the commands that you're giving.
You see that all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, keep your hands up, get on the ground. Well, how am I going to get on the ground without using my hands? You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I was never a break dancer, so I don't know how to accomplish that. Well, it's like I told my, you know, my son is like, you know, like you do bump into somebody, like don't say you're sorry because you're sorry can actually escalate. Yeah, you're fucking right. You're sorry.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like I always say, you know, just use the term apologize. They can't come back with anything with saying, oh, I apologize.
Yeah, you have fucking apologize.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. So
that's a good one. I didn't think about that.
You know, because to me, I see it all the time, like working security in bars back in the days. Like, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, fuck you. You are sorry. Piece of, you know what I mean? It's like, if you just say, hey, I apologize. Let me buy you a beer or whatever. It's like, you know, you get that confused look.
You know,
it's like, what do I say now? You know, yeah, you're right. You are apologizing. Like, yeah, I did.
Give
you
me a
will
beer.
Buy me a beer. You will buy me. Yeah, I think that's actually how I interrupted my wife's OODA loop the first time we met.
Shoulder bumped her.
Yeah. So what do you've got coming up now, man? Like what, since you're done doing Fletzy for a while, you're back in Texas, like are you going to be offering more classes over the next year?
I got classes booked, or not booked, but I got classes on the website through July.
Nice.
So like I'm in Minnesota the last week of the month. Hopefully the frozen tundra isn't frozen when I get there. But May 6th, I'm doing a one-day EDC combatives class. And then May 27th, I have that women's class up in Stephenville. June, I'm working with a couple local SWAT teams doing a low light class in June. And then June 17th, I have an open enrollment. It's going to be 4 hours of red dot, and then we'll put the guns away and do 4 hours of basically grounded weapons stuff. That's in June. I'm doing a four-hour block of vehicle extractions and then open enrollment for everybody, a four-hour block of vehicle combatives, like through July. So
you mentioned earlier that you're teaching the vehicle extraction portion, and a lot of people bring you in as the subject matter expert on that to teach that class. Can you go over kind of what you cover in that class a little bit? Or
yeah, so basically, like it's always a two-person task, basically. So you have one guy providing a lethal cover, and then we talk about show you, I don't know, probably six different ways to pull people out of cars that don't want to come out of cars. Like we'll start the day off though. Like I always start that day off because it's a law enforcement class. But I teach linear cuffing. So linear cuffing is like, you know, between the table and the couch instead of doing 90 style cuffing. But like I explain to them cuffing that takes away cord extremity power, so you can't like reestablish base, which creates a lot of polyester pick piles. But if you're alongside a highway. Or it's even in this hotel room, you know what I mean? It's like linear cuffing comes into play huge. So we do that like the first hour, and then we go into how to properly approach a car, clear the car, set up cover, how to pull people out. And then we even talk about cuffing. If the shit show goes inside the car, how you can work as a team to cuff people inside the car. You don't know how to pull them out. And then the second half of the day is basically teaching you, like, if you do UC work in the cars, how to use the car as to your advantage. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, we fight in cars. Well, the big difference is how to use the car. Like Craig Douglas, you know, he termed it really good. He's like, it's like a combination of jiu-jitsu and rock climbing, right? So it's like you're always looking for foot and hand holds inside the car and how to use the car to add pressure and stuff. So that's kind of the full day there.
And how much contact is involved in those classes? Like, is this like full contact? Is this pads?
Well, yeah, we put on helmets. I mean, we finished the day with traffic stop scenarios using UTM guns. But the thing of it is, like, I tell people everything is six reps. Like, all my classes, like, when we start doing that, it's kind of like six reps. Your first two reps is kind of like self-coaching speed, right? Okay, I got to open the door. I got to do this and that. So you're kind of self-coaching speed. Reps three and four is kind of a little bit more spicy. And then your last two reps is like where you're truly pressure testing it. Because to me, pressure testing, we train, say we did 8 hours of training together, and now you're the bad guy role player. So you know what I'm going to do because we just spent the day working. But if you can't make it fail and you know what I'm going to do, then it's a solid concept, yeah. Solid technique, because in the real world, the bad guy is not going to know what I'm going to do. They may know what my goal is, you know, if it's, they're not getting out of the car, they know I'm going to want to pull them out of the car, but they don't know how I'm going to do it. So when we're, to me, that's pressure testing. You know what I'm going to do. And if you can't make it fail, then, hey, we're going to use that idea, you know, in our SOPs or whatever, you know.
And that's, I take it that's a law enforcement only class. Like the car extraction.
The car extraction part, yeah, because I don't see – I mean, I guess I could sell it to, you know, assholes in the projects in San Antonio and stuff, you know, for carjacking, more efficiency at carjacking. But,
be better at carjacking.
Yeah, I'm not that broke yet, so, you know. But the vehicle, like, kebabs part, like, I broke that down into a separate four-hour block because that is huge. I mean, it keeps people from pulling you out of the car, like in a carjacking scenario, yeah. Or whatever, you know.
Anti-carjacking.
Well, the thing is, too, is like Uber's such a big thing now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like my wife and I, we were in Nashville a couple years ago, and our Uber driver turned down, like, taking us to the hotel, but his GPS sent him down this, like, dark, dead-end street, and my wife, she was kind of freaking out. I'm like, I'm going to shoot this dude in the fucking face. Like, you know.
Surprise.
And he was like, and then he kind of probably read my thoughts, and he was like, oh, I'm, you know, GPS, like, I'm fixing it. Like, oh, okay, dude. You know, but
I have something that'll fix it.
You yeah. are fixing it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you're getting ready to see what a staccato looks like.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I always love that meme, you know, like, 20 years ago, it's like, don't talk to strangers on the internet.
Yeah.
Now it's like
getting cars with them.
Yeah. Getting cars with them and have them take you home.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's kind of like what the combatives block is going to be about, though, is like, you know, everybody gets in these ride shares. You don't know who the fuck you're getting in a car with.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so
it happens. Yeah. Like, there's been abductions and sexual assaults and yeah. probably way worse than that.
Yeah. So that's where I'm going with the, 4 hour block of combatives. So
that's a good idea.
What type of facility? So we asked this question earlier with the, we asked this question to Dan and Gabe in the previous podcast, but like, what kind of facilities do you need for you to come in and teach like the civilian vehicle class?
All I need is a piece of shit car that we can break stuff on the inside. That's it.
And then what would you typically pair with that 4 hour block of instruction? Like if we were going, hey, Cliff, you want to come down and teach a class? I want part of it to be the vehicle based combative.
So like what with that, like usually like we could, I'll do maybe 75 to 100 rounds of close contact shooting, appropriate extension, retention, cover, an hour or so of actually weapon retention and protection that way. And then we get in the car. Cause I put two people in the backseat of the car, and, you're basically both have a hand on the gun.
Yeah.
And you just, and it's kind of like, it's kind of like a hot potato drill. It's impossible to keep the gun, right? You're going to get it taken away. So your goal is to get it back. So you're both working retention and gun takeaways and stuff like that. So, and you're in the back seat of a car instead of a great big mat room where everybody usually teaches weapon stuff. Everything works in a mat room, you know, but when you get into a 43 inch space, like the Connex boxes, it changes everything.
I was going to say we should like host them, but get like an old Mini Cooper. Or like a old Prius and be like,
Yeah, I just want to like, I have two cars. So I'm getting ready to switch them out on my property. I have two cars that I just went to the local wrecker yard and told them, like, you know, I'm training cops this. And they're like, yeah, we'll bring two cars out. So
just find the two with the smallest back seats.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we did a class a few years ago that I hosted back when I was still in Missouri. And I knew a tow truck driver. And he's like, I'll bring this one out. You can do whatever you want to it.
You know what we
and I'll come
do?
Back and pick it up.
Like on the way up here, yep. I forget what road it is, but there's like this gas station that has like this little red tiny car that's like, it's like literally one seat. Have you seen that?
No,
it's on the way up here. I forget what road it is, but coming up to Round Rock or Austin or whatever, that's the route we always take. But yeah, it's like one seat. It's like this little tiny red car, but they have it as like part of their sign for like the gas station.
We'll get Maddie her mini
truck. I was fixing to say the same thing. Yeah. We'll get Maddie her mini truck and be like, but we're going to
We
got to fight in it. Everyone has to fight in it at the same time.
Blood in, blood out.
Yeah.
Right. See, I used to do that because I was a part of a asymmetrical warfare group. Used to bring me back for 3 days of their selection process. I would put hoods and stuff over like six people and put them in the back of a van, and they have to like fight their way out.
Everybody's just
it was a good time.
You didn't mention in your resume former asymmetric warfare group instructor on there. So, how do you get into that?
I was teaching for Blauer Tactical.
Okay.
So and then they would just because of my other background, he would bring me back there. Cause it was basically like a lone operator class. I teach him how to get out of flex cuffs and handcuffs and basically like lone survivor shit. So it was pretty cool.
Add that to the wish list.
Yeah. I had a buddy of mine who works for an Alphabet agency out of Northern Virginia. He made me
that narrows it down.
Yeah. He made me a really nice hood out of a parachute reserve deployment bag.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, it fits over those helmets that I use. So, works really well.
Perfect size.
Well, I also use that for, like, my knife defense classes, too. I'll put a hood over your head so you don't know where that guy with the knife is. As soon as the hood comes off, then you actually really see a really natural behavior of, like, the backpedaling, like the old shit before they get established. So, like, I do a lot of hood drills with my knife stuff.
Yeah. And that's, you know, once you start doing that, like, that hood would totally make a difference. Like, I hosted Craig for EWO 1 year, and, like, you know, that last evolution with him where he's counting down over in the corner, and, like, I couldn't help but, like, game it. I'm just like, I got to get this off. And you can hear him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
10, 9. You're like, like, I got to get space for it. And I got that space at the last point, and I had enough time to where that guy was coming from. Like, I was like, all right, and just totally reorienting myself. And if we had sim guns in that, which you don't, would have had more time and space to be able to get that out and into play. But that a hood in that situation or silent count.
Yeah. Keeps you from gaming it, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, it's like in my knife class, though, you know, it's like we basically call it the tool or drill is bullshit, you know, because I teach people angles. So, I mean, we could be, you know, 3 feet apart, like we're sitting here, and it's like, you're still never going to get the knife on me because you understand angles. I always get my gun out before you'll stab me, you know, Now, if we're grappling and we're tied up, you know, that's a different story. You know, but if I have space, you know, I refer to as longest reach plus a step, you know, so if I have that space, you're not going to get anything into play.
Space and time.
He's shooting me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
space and time, man. I can still hear the words, you know, that was a poor timing decision, Chris. He's shooting you with your own gun.
You're like, shit.
That hurts. Kept on moving. Drink water. Caleb Cossey downstairs.
Yeah.
Drink water.
That's pretty funny. He's like, I've been a doctor 33 years. You're the first person to break a hip and didn't know it. My wife's like, yeah, he's kind of retarded. Like, thanks, honey.
Yeah. Appreciate you. Thank you.
So we've talked about what you've got going on. Coming up, what your background a little bit, which is very extensive, and what you've got coming up. Where can people find out more information about you?
Got Hill Country Cabanas. I mean, I got Facebook crap and Instagram. I'm not a big content creator. I think social media is kind of fucking up training. Because people buy into training production quality over training quality on social media.
But it looks cool.
You know, yeah, it looks cool, so I'm going to go do it. You know, that's why that dumbass in Detroit, you know, makes $1 million a year. Right? Yeah. But, yeah, so, like, you know, I have a website. Everything's on the website, hillcountrycabanas.com. So, but everything's listed up there. But I usually post everything on social media.
Yeah.
You know. All the courses, it's every course unless it says LE only, it's open enrollment. And I get messages every day like, hey, are you going to do any civilian classes? Well, there's like 10 listed and it all says open enrollment. Yeah. So I don't know what your understanding of open enrollment is, but
you literally have to spell it out. And we get in depth on stuff like that on our website. Like if you don't put it in the description, you're going to get a question about it. Like it's like got to spell it out.
It's like it doesn't say LE only, dude. So that means you can come play. Like, yeah, it's pretty good. Like all the home classes. My wife's a pretty high end cook, so she makes lunch for everybody.
Oh well, I mean
that's like
sold.
Yeah, that's like the highlight of the day. Everybody's like, you know, training was great, but your wife's fucking lunch was amazing. Like, so yeah, she goes out of her way for it. So
that's fantastic.
Nice.
Mike, do you got any questions?
No, I think that's pretty much covered it. Going back to like your hosting requirements and stuff, do the vehicle, is that like live fire or do you use
it's all SIMS? I got a box of UTM guns.
Gotcha.
that I drag around. So, you know, I can incorporate live fire into any class, but generally it's all just UTM.
Cool. I was thinking back to our range because I don't think we can fit a car through the range door.
No, and we can't do retention shooting with the backstop that we currently have. It would not be.
Yeah, we try to do that at Jeff Gonzalez's range here in Austin.
Awesome facility.
And I was the only one because I'm like we're talking. I was just thinking, oh, thumb pectoral. I'm bringing frangible.
Yeah,
you know. And Craig was kind of upset about that because, like, a lot of the backsplash. So we kind of had to tweak some stuff for that one. But
yeah. Yeah. It's maybe if we upgrade to rubber at some point.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely in the plans.
Yeah. Yeah. You got anything?
No. Knowledge, man. It's all knowledge. I need to take a class.
Yeah.
Come on out May 6th. Shoot me an email.
Okay. I gotta see what's going on. Do we have anything going on in May?
We got.
I don't know what I have going on tomorrow.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, me neither.
I do.
What I do for breakfast?
I got to look at my calendar.
You got to buy something tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to do some buying tomorrow.
Yeah. Spend all your monies.
Yeah. And then we got Bruisers class here at the end of the month, I can't do 2 weeks in a row, and I'll be moving probably May 6th.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're buying. Yeah.
But we're going to get you down, dude. We're right down the road. Even we might have to convince you to bring your wife, and we'll figure out a way for her like to get lunch for us. But I don't know.
Oh, dude, we're all about it. We usually stay in the Woodlands because they have the blend there.
Oh yeah,
the cigar bar.
That's where Jedi went. He just found it online and loved it.
Well, it started in Indianapolis.
Oh, really?
And then it went to Nashville and then Houston or Woodlands.
Yeah.
But it's like the only, like, we got told about, like, one guy was like, oh, we were in Nashville. We go there a lot. He's like, go to this one cigar bar. It's owned by, you know, Marines. And, like, you could smell the cigar smoke, like, a grid square away. Yeah. You know what I mean? And my wife's like, I'm not going in there. And we go to Blen, and, like, you couldn't even tell it was a cigar bar. They spent, like, $4 million on ventilation. Like, you can be sitting, like, next to somebody, and you wouldn't know they're smoking a cigar.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, the female manager there, she was like, yeah, my hair doesn't stink. I wear the same dress for, like, 2 days, you know, whatever. But it's very – plus, they have an outstanding brown water selection
there. Yeah.
You know. Check that out.
Yeah, good. It's right there, right down the road from Tris. Like, off, like,
yeah, it's like on the same path.
Yeah,
yeah, it's nice, man.
Whatever those roads are, out. Mm-hmm. Like, so, next to, like, the Fidelity building or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last time I smoked a cigar at the shop, I puked my brains out. Yeah. So, I won't be doing that anytime soon.
See, that's what else we do at the end of the training day. We sit around on my deck and. I mean, you can. I mean, it's like if you have weak genetics and shit like that.
I'm a bitch.
No, at the end of the training day, we sit around on the deck and hang out in the pool and drink brown water and, you know, make our forefathers proud. Nice. I'm talking about violence and shit. So.
I mean, I can sit there and do that. I just won't be puking my brains out.
Well, dude, Cliff, thanks for taking time out of your day.
It's
and
a pleasure.
I saw your name. I've been emailing the guys at TTPOA, you know, about, like, trying to get an instructor list. And I saw your name on it. I'm like, I'm definitely going. As soon as I run into him, I'm going to ask him. And as soon as I saw you this morning, I was like, hey, man, let's sit down and talk because I want to talk to you. Yeah. And so we really appreciate you coming on.
I love it, man. You guys, I like I said, I send everybody to if they want to order any shit. I mean, because nobody beats your shipping, man. Like, I think the last time I ordered something, I think it was the pepper spray. I ordered some more pepper spray for the wife. And it was like, I ordered it that morning by lunchtime. I had like a tracking number.
It was already at your house. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah. And then since you're in Kerrville, what's that usually take 2-3 days most to get to you?
At the most, yeah.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Awesome. Yeah. Well, we really appreciate your time.
Oh,
yeah,
no worries. My pleasure.
For sure. You want me to do it?
Go for it.
Oh, three in a row, man. So if you've enjoyed today's podcast on YouTube, leave us a comment. If you got any questions for us or Cliff here, just post them up, email it, hit them up on social media. We really appreciate you watching, listening, downloading, and look forward to having some Hill Country Combatives classes at BTO Range and Training Facility. Training Center?
Center.
It means it. BTORange.com. Dash?
Is there a dash in there? There is a dash. A BTO dash range.
And this podcast is brought to you by BTOgear.com. No dash. But we might have to buy that one too. Anyway, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it.